group of strangers receive a mysterious message from an old friend from a planet of synthetic life. When tragedy strikes, these intrepid heroes, or should we say intrepid investigators, must solve a murder in Metal City. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM for this neon-tinted noir mystery.
The name's Tim. I'm wearing the shoes of Dexter Rain, a shameless, a gumshoe, pounding the pavement in the guts of striving, looking for trouble. And sister, trouble always finds me.
I'm Isis, and I'm playing Vaz Salty, a snarky medical drama actress.
I'm Rue, I use they, he, or ze pronouns, and I'm playing Whose Bows Are Lit Within, Bows for short, an inflorescent Kizar Solarian, who's a ray of sunlight from the chilling depths of the ice wells.
I'm Jocelyn, and I'm playing Together in Electric Dreams, a contemplative technomancer seeking the spark of life.
I'm John, and I'm playing Zabi Fregolarius, an elder skittermander with a penchant for explosions.
And I'm Alex, and I'll be playing Patsy Van Dyne, a rat about town with her nose in everybody's business.
And now, on with the episode. All right, don't get all jammed up. We're back for more story. Previously, our intrepid investigators got into a real dust-up with a handful of strange, shadowy agents and a couple of Anasite wingbots after discovering Tier 99 Professor's body stashed away in a storage compartment in the lobby of their charging station. To make matters worse, when the hullabaloo died down, it seemed like the coppers were parked just outside, demanding the investigators put down their weapons and exit the building. Are they about to be sent up the river for a crime they maybe didn't commit? Ooh, let's find out. But today we're going to start with Zabi. You're standing in a darkened room whose size is impossible to discern. A powerful spotlight from above you, the only illumination. A synthesized voice echoes from every corner, its source not apparent.
Zabi Fraglorious, you have been accused by the Insight Array of wanton and malicious destruction of public property, and now stand before the machine court to determine your guilt or innocence. How do you plead?
Before you can answer, Tier 99 Professor's voice pipes up from behind you. Oh, apologies, honorable members of the machine court, but I will be representing Mr. Fraglorious at this time. You should now be receiving all the necessary files and forms to prove that any damage caused by Mr. Fraglorious's actions were entirely accidental and that he has agreed to pay restitution for the repairs and perform up to 6 months community service. Tierney gestures at you, Zabi, to just kind of like, remain quiet for now. Seconds later, the voice of the machine court speaks again. Files received, Tier 99 Professor. All is in order. The machine court agrees with these terms and will adjourn. A second light appears, framing an exit to this chamber. And Tier 99 is sort of like, gesturing for you to sort of hustle out this door.
I exit stage right, yes.
Okay. They follow you out, and the professor's kind of looking up and down and says, "Ah, Zabi, my dear friend, you must be more careful with those mines in the future, especially on the sidewalk." I did the best I could. Go ahead.
It was supposed to be a cheerful, colorful display.
Sometimes these things
are complicated.
Things get out of your hand. I did the best I could to avoid the worst punishment, but with such a stain on
I
your permanent
that.
Record... You're welcome, but I'm afraid Polytechnica's rules are quite rigid. My actuators are restrained in this matter. I'll have to terminate your employment with me. I'm sorry.
You're letting me go? After all the years I've helped you?
Yes, you've helped. You've been very helpful.
What am I going to do? Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Your final payment will be transmitted to you within the week.
All right.
And again, but if there's anything else that I could help you with outside of employment with the university, then I'll try. But my dear friend, it's beyond me.
Well, thank you for what you did. I meant well, but sometimes I do get a little excited about these things. I will
get a little carried away with yourself. If you can just find a way to restrain that, especially in the city, outside the megalopolis. You know, Avalon's a blasted wasteland out there. It doesn't matter if you blow it
up. No,
in the cities.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, thanks again.
They kind of nod their head and kind of, you know, get and just sort of like sadly kind of like walk away, leaving you sort of to your own devices. So, but Zabi, how do you feel devices. About this?
I have some extras. Oh. wow. You know, sometimes I can't help myself. I just get really excited about, you know, a new trick or a new thing. And I know the professor's right on this. It's probably about time for me to move on, but it's hard. It's pretty good pay and easy work for the university, and I'm going to miss that a lot.
It was. We sort of zoom past Zabi to some like flashing sort of neon sign in the background, which kind of resolves itself to the flashing red and blue and white strobing lights of striving sort of security forces who are outside the lobby of the charging station right now with all of you just sort of there, Tier 99 Professor's body sort of leaning there. Shalalamilu kind of like comes out from behind one of the statues, you know, her thing. She's like, I'm sorry. I had to call them as soon as the gunfire started. I'm sure. You know, everything will be fine if you just, you know, do what they say. No, dear, I guess
it's quite all right. We totally understand. Don't even worry about it. It's fine. You did the right thing.
I need to hide. I can't get caught blowing stuff more stuff in town here.
You watch as Bows just kind of comes up, and this is a feat that's mostly combat used, but okay, I'm gonna use it here.
Go for it.
Yeah. I have in sheltering limbs, so I can share space with an ally, and while they are sharing space with me, they have lesser cover, and if they take the take cover action, they can have full cover within my limbs.
I will take cover within Bows.
Great.
Just like you watch as just like all these tree branches kind of wrap around Zabi.
Nice. Lovely. So you're basically like kind of like setting that. Are you setting down or putting away your weapons?
Probably right. Like unless we think we can talk our way out of this, which I mean, Patsy's happy to give it a go. Like,
Dex
fighting the cops doesn't seem wise.
Dex knows the drill. He holsters his weapon and just kind of like leans up against the wall and just kind of waits for them to come in because they're horribly inefficient and quite stupid.
So, is anyone else doing anything else?
No.
Should probably loot the bodies before they come in, right?
Well, the bodies sort of like vanish, right?
Probably
like,
a good idea.
Oh, that's true. They did.
The shadowy agents, there's no real trace of them. There are a couple broken Anasite wing bots sort of, you know, on the ground and on other sides of the lobby. But maybe a lingering trace of that sort of weird smoke, but it's all sort of drifting up towards the ceiling and disappearing out of sight. After a few moments,
do I have time to cast a two action spell?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm going to pull out a spell gem and just sort of do whatever needs done to activate this particular spell gem.
Yes.
And I am going to go ahead and cast Glow Up on myself.
very good.
So I'm going to just like, we've had like a night here, right? Like been a very eventful evening. And so like, I'm just going to basically, I'm not going to change my appearance or my clothes necessarily. I'm just going to like clean myself up, make myself look as respectable as possible, and just like prepare to talk us out of whatever's about to happen here.
Okay, right. Yeah. You cast that, you look all just a little fresher, a little more cleaner, you know, a little more put together. Then, you know, I think you probably took a couple wounds in that fight, so you've been damaged with all that sort of whatever it might be, scorches or cuts on your clothes are all gone. Mm-hmm. A few minutes, these two sort of Anasites big kind of spidery looking kind of robots come in. They have, each of them have Insight Array security badges essentially sort of prominently displayed. They kind of come clank, 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 clank. They're both holding clearly, you know, their rifles are out. They're not really sort of pointing at anybody at the moment as they see that you've sort of put your weapons away, but they're definitely armed. And following them is a man in a sort of a suit, and he's got sort of greenish hair, antennae, and a kind of a large Leela from Futurama device on his arm. Basically, it's, you know, sort of looks like a, you know, basically a computing device. Does look like this. I'll show you this. I'm actually going to show you this entire thing. He looks nervous. Maybe a little agitated.
He sure does.
Yeah. Yeah.
At a minimum.
And
yeah.
Yeah. He kind of comes in, and when he begins talking, it's clear he was the voice who kind of called out on the loudspeaker to you earlier to say, you know, put your weapons down. This is, you know, Insight Array security. And he comes in. Good. Hello, everyone. I'm glad that you were all calm here. We're being calm here. There was a report of gunfire here, and I'm Lieutenant Hessop of Insight Array Security, and let's talk. Yes, that's
he's
when
talk, Lieutenant.
It's pretty clear that he notices that there's also a couple Anasite Wingbot, you know, chassis there, and also the professor's body sort of in the corner. Dear. Well, okay.
Is the mist still around? Is the mist still around?
It's not really visible. It's pretty gone at this point.
Okay.
All right, everyone. We're going to have to go down to central processing at this point. We have a couple shutdown units here, and we're going to need to get to the bottom of this. So if you all, I hope there won't be any need for restraints, but if you'll come with me, we can get this all sorted out. Shell Alamilo sort of is like, Lieutenant, I can vouch. We all sort of found this body over here. Yes. You'll be coming with us as well. And so the seven of you are basically packed in a couple transports in the back seat, unless you know, want to do something else. Let me know.
I'm going to ask if he's actually going to look at the evidence that's strewn around all over the place. Like, you're leaving the scene of the crime just to hustle us away from the...
taking you away. He's leaving behind another one of the Anasite protectors to sort of gather the rest of the evidence, gather up the shutdown units, and, you know, sort of scan everything. You suspect that, you know, in here in Striving, they've already scanned everything. Like, in the time it took Lieutenant Hessop to talk to you, they've scanned the entire room, and you know, basically have everything sort of that they need. But still, there's still an Anasite student being left behind to just sort of watch over it and make sure nothing gets changed and altered, right? And so with, I guess, keeping Zabi sort of in your bowels, you kind of shuffle in into the into one of the transports, a lot of you are
kind of stepping on my feet
very lightly, having him walk like like he's That might not last for very long, by the way. I just want to point out that they're going to probably discover him in there, unless you want to do something.
Oh, yeah.
I'll come out. It's like, if they're scanning and stuff, that's okay.
Necessarily not right here, but at some point.
That's all. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Well, Lieutenant Hessop sort of nervously sort of just, you know, again, escorts you into some transports, and you're taken into Central Circuit, which is a sort of central area of Striving. Actually, let's come along to the Striving map, main map. And we can kind of get an idea where basically we're down here on the charging platform. And we're going all the way across town up to Central Circuit processing center.
Oh, wow.
And it's a quick ride, though, you know, because these are security transports. They maybe even have their lights going. But that's what I word. All the other sort of automated vehicles on the streets of Striving just automatically kind of pull off to one side when a security unit, security transport is moving anyway. It's just sort of built into the programming of the city, so to speak. Central Circuits Processing Center is a big, gleaming, almost completely translucent cube. Lights lit from within. It is almost like an Apple store that is super huge and super fancy. And you can see lots of anisites, other sort of robotic life forms sort of zipping in and around. There is one sort of interior cone that you can't like see all the way cylinder. But for the most part, you can kind of like see through the entire building, especially, you know, as you're sort of approaching. You're brought in and you're not officially booked in the sense of being taken by the police, fingerprinted and that sort of thing. But you do go through a sort of a scanner as you step in through the one entrance that you're sort of escorted through. You know, it's basically a full body metal detection kind of scanner thing. It doesn't necessarily go off because I know you guys are carrying metal and guns and whatnot, but it is sort of notes everything that you've got on your person for sure. And you're sort of all escorted into a sort of a bright white chamber. Again, the walls are pretty clear here, but it looks like they can probably be sort of turned dark if need be with a switch. And Lieutenant Hessop is there as well. Okay. Now that we're here, we are recording this. This is, it's the date and the time. It is late, I think. I think we established that it is probably like getting close to or after midnight. And he wants to hear your story. Basically, he says, you know, okay, please for the cameras and the recording, please tell me why you were in why you're at the charging platform. Why you discharged your firearms and the reason that these units were shut down?
Well, they started it, Lieutenant. I can assure you we would never have provoked violence in these individuals, but we were looking for a missing friend of ours, and just as we arrived at their home, they swarmed and attacked us. It was dreadful. We're lucky you were there just in the nick of time to save us.
And can you describe these individuals?
Well, you saw them on the ground, didn't you? And they were accompanied by some sort of shadowy, spooky humanoids. It was very scary.
Oh, the two wing bots, yes. We've called up their designations, and it does seem like that their actions were masked. For that they were not sent by any individual that we could find did not see that whether or not they had been programmed who had sent them basically. I'm sorry, I've had a long night. Okay. Can I get any of you like a cup of hot coffee or tea or water? Not hot water, just water.
just water. Okay.
I would love water that isn't hot.
I could use a good jolt, a good cup of jolt.
Okay. Is that like Red Bull or?
Like, I mean, Jolt Cola?
Yes.
Johnny, yeah, are you referencing Jolt Cola? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Twice the sugar, twice the caffeine, jolt. Okay. It doesn't exist anymore because yikes. No. He gets you all something to drink, and he basically wants to sort of get everyone's where they were this evening. Gets everyone sort of information from everybody. We don't have to necessarily go through everyone's statement, but if anyone wants to say anything in specifically or make a roll, let me know. If anyone wants to tell me if you're lying, basically, or you're kind of giving him the whole truth or not. I don't know, but you know, what's your tack here?
Bows is not going to mention the message they received and the like secondary location they went to.
Okay, fair enough.
But other than that, he's not lying.
Patsy's natural inclination is to not fully tell the truth in truly any conversation she's ever had in her entire life. So I'm just trying to feel, I feel like probably what she would share is everything that can like basically be traced. Like, we all met at the restaurant and then we went to this random alley and then we went back to the restaurant and then we went to the charging pads. They don't need to know about Tierney's message to us. They don't need to know that we were trying to solve a murder. That's the sort of thing they probably frown upon. They don't need to know any of that. But, like, she's not lying. She's just withholding information.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think the way, I mean, similarly, like, the way to put it is, like, well, he didn't show up at this meeting we were supposed to see him at. So we went looking for him because we were worried. And then we just ended up here. Don't worry about it.
I mean, his body is there, so we...
His body is there, sure.
Yeah.
But I guess worry about that part. But
Dreams will point out that not everyone actually discharges any firearms.
That is also true, actually. Actually, that's fire is a weapon.
Exactly. And also, we'll talk about the strange behavior of the shadowy figures and go deep into the arcana of that.
Okay. So do me a favor, I guess, Alex. Why don't you roll either deception or diplomacy?
Okay.
For me,
I would love to
sort of telling the truth but not telling the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to make it diplomacy because I'm at Patsy is just like also trying to butter this guy up and flatter him and be like, we're friends, right? Like, she's trying to make an impression on this guy and just be like, hey, we're pals. We've done nothing wrong here.
Love it.
So that I can use my glow up bonus.
Very good.
And let's see.
It should be a blow up bonus. That's all I can say.
Let's see. How does a 13?
That's your character. I will tell you that could be better.
Because I can hero point that.
Yeah. You can totally hero point that.
Was that an I should try to be better?
I think it should be maybe a little better.
I'm gonna hero point.
If you want to hero point,
I'm assuming we're starting with a hero point. Great, I rolled my lucky number, so 18 total.
Okay, great. So you know, you give him the information that you want to give him. It's clear that as you're talking to him, you get the impression he's a lieutenant, he's kind of a sort of a detective, but he's also basically kind of a functionary. He doesn't appear to have a lot of confidence. In what he's saying, what he's doing here, but he was kind of thrown into this particular what's going on, this case. He was just sort of called for like a disturbance and not necessarily a murder, or a death. So he's clearly willing to sort of like take your statement and take it at face value, at least, explain what, and not dig too much deeper into what's going on. He does want, after that sort of conversation, he's a little, he's like, I don't quite, you say these shadowy figures, we haven't seen any trace of them. I don't appreciate that the strange things sometimes do happen. But if there's any way that you can give us a little bit of proof or context of what that was, it'll go a long way into sort of corroborating your story, of course.
Do they not? Is there no cameras in the lobby?
He goes into the sort of charging. He goes into his wrist computer and he's going at it. And he's like, oh, let's take a look. It does look like the camera feed cuts out. Has been sort of right before the shadowy figure sort of showed up. It's you sort of boom finding the body and talking about it, figuring out, trying to figure out what to do, and then it kind of cuts out, and then there's just a missing chunk of time.
Is the password the name of the establishment?
It probably was not a great password.
Shalala Malulu is the one who said it, and bless her heart, she's trying.
Yes,
she's trying.
Well, we do have the witness. I mean, she was there too.
And Shalalamilu is totally corroborating your story. Of course, she saw the whole thing, and she's kind of like, "Yeah, this weird shadow just came out of nowhere."
We didn't like get anything from them, though, did we? Like,
well, Zabi did. Zabi, when Zabi was looking at them, could tell that they seemed to be like from different versions of themselves, like almost like multiverse kind of action going on here. So for our Anasite Jimmy Woo, that's really appropriate, I think. Right?
wait.
He's an FBI guy that's in the Marvel Universe. That's always.
He's La Junta. He is basically, yes. Yes, Randall Park.
From, I was like, that's a great descriptor. I got exactly where you were going with that.
Yeah.
essentially, you're there for a couple hours, sort of having this conversation. At one point, Lieutenant Hessop does again get something from his wrist computer. Just sort of noting that, okay, the identity of the other Anasite, which is sort of tier nine professor, kind of gives, you know, it looks like he had been dead, you know, shut down for a couple days. And with that, you know, it's sort of like, oh, you didn't kill him. He wasn't killed there and then. So, it looks like, okay, here's the thing.
I have an alibi. Was not even on planet.
Yeah.
You weren't even on planet. I mean,
how nice of you.
You got here like 2 days ago.
Stacks.
Yeah.
He does want to basically get all of your alibis for the time of shutdown, which is a couple of days ago. Does anyone care to like, I mean, you could don't have to come up with it right this second for me sort of springing this on you, but if anyone has any thoughts about what they might have been doing a few days ago, feel free to let me know.
Like middle of the day, nighttime. Like, what did we talk about a couple days ago?
A couple days ago in the evening.
Okay, in the evening.
Talk about like 4 days ago in the evening.
Okay. Early evening, right?
Probably early evening.
Dex was in a bar on Absalon Station. You can call the bartender, and he's a regular. there.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
The bartender actually put out a missing persons alert because you're not there right now. And they're concerned.
Yeah.
They're worried
wait
about
a minute.
It.
He hasn't been here in 4 days. That's so unlike him.
He's the reason.
Has anyone seen this mechanic?
He's the reason my bar is even open.
Lady, he's putting my children to college.
Someone help me find my pet PC.
Yeah. Let me find them.
Bows was in the ice wells.
Okay. Fair. Out of town.
They only came in. They only came into Avalon proper because they got a message from Tier 99.
Right.
Oh, well, gosh, you know, early evening, I'm sure I was at some sort of dinner party or other. You know, I would have to check my comm unit to check the exact location. And if it's really necessary, I suppose I could do that. But that seems like a lot.
Fair enough.
Seems like a lot.
Can I also, as he asks this, I think I'm trying to figure out how she could like try and ask it subtly, but I think that she would just be like, you know, our poor dear friend, we're so sorry to hear of his untimely and early shutdown. Do you have any idea what could have caused it? He was the picture of health last we spoke. I want to see if we can get a cause of death out of this guy.
Okay.
Mostly, I want to see if he noticed what we noticed. Basically,
yes. Give me a diplomacy.
I would be delighted to do so. Let's see.
Diplomacy. A little sneaky tricky.
Because I'm not making an impression, but I get another 18.
Okay. It looks like we haven't yet quite determined cause of shutdown. Still got the Anasite coroner on that, so to speak. It does you know, from our initial I'll let you if your friend was he likely didn't suffer.
Oh, well, it was quick. That's reassuring, I suppose.
Yeah.
Dex rolls his eyes and looks away.
I file that away because I'm not sure if Dex is rolling his eyes at me or at the lieutenant.
Probably both.
Patsy just files that.
He died violently.
It was terrible. He screamed and he suffered. Again, you basically spend the better part of a big chunk of the evening there until like nearly morning. So being questioned and sort of getting your alibi checked out and whatnot. Lieutenant Hessop says, yes. As usual, you're free to go at the moment, but we request that you do not leave driving for the time being until we get to the end of this investigation. We might be calling on you.
Is that the city proper, or can we go out on the outskirts at all, or
the entire megalopolis? It's a big space. So there's, but we'll be able to find you. Don't worry.
Okay.
To find us. Well, I certainly hope it's not that easy for you to find us, but all right.
You think if it was that easy to find us, they'd be able to find who hurt our poor dear friend, but
it's none of my business. Yes, sure. Again, my condolences for you know your friend there. I'm working on double overtime here, you'll excuse me. And another sort of anti-site protector unit escorts you out of the building. It looks like going through the same scanner, it turns your weapons back on, right? Like there's this sort of a weapon dampening field most likely inside the processing center. But as you are leaving, you can't help but see. Because the walls are completely glass, right?
Oh, great.
There is a very larger sort of anisite. Again, most anisites are kind of insectile. This guy does kind of look like a big spider. Essentially sort of like, one would call it almost like, you know, in a police station, sort of the bullpen kind of area, right? There's there, and they're kind of watching, you know, up there, just staring down at you. And again, with anisites, you can't quite tell whether they don't necessarily have normal, they don't have like flesh and blood eyeballs, but it is clear that you're being sort of watched as you leave the building. I'm going to show you this guy as well. Boop.
That's a pretty buff anisite.
Yeah.
That's really buff anisite.
That's a cop.
Sort of up there.
Yeah, that's a cop.
Yeah. And so,
more like a monster,
it's like,
less than a cop.
Robots. He's a robot cop.
He's
a robot cop, right. Man.
Shh, shh.
That's the worst kind. He's a big guy.
I'm going to invoke my. That's odd, because that's odd. So
sure.
We enter the location and then we're leaving. So yeah. Did I pick up anything there of interest?
The size of this anisite and the sort of, you know, his, for lack of a better word, musculature or what, I mean, the fact that he's got these big, you know, literal guns and, you know, whatnot. You suspect that like this is, you know, essentially the chief of police here.
He looks nothing like Tom Selleck. I am.
That's certainly true.
Robot Tom Selleck.
It is true. He doesn't look like Tom Selleck, but he does have he has an air of authority about themselves, right there. And maybe at one point is just sort of like peeking, you know, watching, and them watching you. Another sort of like smaller anisite flies up to them with a sort of, you know, data pad, and they kind of grab it and.
Yeah, I just like
looking at it, kind of like do some sort of sign off.
Yeah, when he's looking down and I notice that, I just turn around and then I like pull out a pack of smokes and I'm just kind of staring at him, and like very casually lighting the cigarette and just kind of staring at him, and then I nod and then I turn around and walk off.
So while before you did that, as you're smoking, you actually you see this. Lieutenant Hessop does come up to this anisite and again hand them another sort of, you know. Essentially, well, it's more like it's clear Lieutenant Hessop does something on his wrist computer, and there's a little bit of like a flashing blue light in this large anisite's eyes, as if to say, you know, received. So it's like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. What do you all want to do? Are you head out and like sleep?
I need my beauty rest.
Is there a bar?
I don't know if I could sleep after all this. Yeah. Like,
gotta be an all night bar serving some sort of synth something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, your flesh alcohol. You're not your flesh alcohol, but your what's the word I'm looking for? Non-synthetics.
Yeah,
organics. Yeah, or alcohol. Organics.
Yeah,
my organic. Analog,
right? So we head down to Analog from here and check out the nightlife.
Look, there are plenty of androids in this town. Androids can drink real alcohol. They also have poison resistance, so, you know, don't worry about that. But it'll be fine.
That's all. Do all of you spend the rest of the night drinking, or some of you go back to your places of residence?
Do all of us spend the rest of
Listen, I guess the question for the group is, where do we go from here? Do we trust these, you know, Anasite cops to really solve our friend's murder? Because I, for one,
absolutely
do not.
Nope.
Absolutely
not. No.
There's a lot of time doing nothing, and they're supposed to be super efficient. I saw no efficiency in that glass house.
I've never been impressed with the police forces in this city, and I would never say that in front of a surveillance drone.
Right. I mean, they couldn't even figure out how he died. You know,
you're safe.
How he died. We learned more than they did.
I hid Zabi in my limbs. In front of them for 15 minutes. I don't think they notice everything.
No.
Yeah, your keyboard cops don't necessarily inspire a lot of confidence. So my proposal then is everyone rests up. We meet up in, 6 hours. So for lunch, maybe brunch. And then, with a clear head, we sort of figure out what the heck is going on here.
Or we could hack into their system now and see exactly what they're doing and abscond with the data.
They don't know anything, so.
That's true.
We know more than they do. What we have to do is figure out what these shadow creatures are. Did we ever get into the professor's place?
We didn't make it up, no.
We didn't make it
up. No, he actually didn't go up there, surprisingly.
We could try to get in there
now.
Well,
I mean,
I don't have a place to stay, so that's as good a place as any.
What's a charging pad? You can come stay at my place. It's a little small, but
I was going to say I got a trailer. I mean, you want to hang out in the you know? Well, I mean, look, it's my dressing room trailer. I mean, I got some extra space in there.
Don't you people have homes?
Oh yes, very much.
Sure, but not in this part of Shriving.
Yeah, I mean, like an Anasite charging station is not a good place for a non-Anasite to rest, because it is essentially just you're just going to get blasted with like essentially radiation. It's, when the sun comes up, these things are just basically open to that, and the Avalon is right next to the sun, and it doesn't have much of an atmosphere. And these
are curling up on a wireless charging pad. Why is this so uncomfortable?
While being absolutely toasted alive by the sun.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't seen it. He like, there's like no concept of what this is to him. He's just like, he knows what his apartment on Absalom Station is.
Yeah.
But he doesn't go frequent charging stations. So
I mean,
he's like, radiation.
The question is mainly sort of like if anyone who needs to rest for the night wants to get a night's rest, i.e. those of you with spells or daily abilities.
I should probably sleep. I should also probably call my agent and tell him I won't be in tomorrow. We're gonna do
we'll say just luckily for you that they're, your show's on hiatus currently.
Oh, luckily.
Luckily. I mean, not like it's hanging in the balance. It's just like this is a time between
it's break time
seasons, essentially. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I should get back to my workshop. I need to
award season.
Need to make some more mines anyway, so.
Oh yeah, great. I need to recharge my explosives.
Yeah.
And that's why Dex declines your offer to stay with you.
Yep.
He likes his appendages.
Like, you know what?
Patsy sort of sighs and says, I suppose if anybody needs a place to stay, we have like 5 guest rooms. I can probably find you space somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
That's real big of
that's
you.
A lot of guest
Thanks.
Rooms. Yeah.
I would appreciate it.
Come on.
She's mentally
workshopping in her head how she's going to explain this to the rest of her family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, yes. You have a big
usually
family.
The people crashing in those guest rooms are not this.
Yeah.
Can't?
Yeah.
Fancy.
Alice can just sit in the front yard, can't you? I don't know.
I could, yes. I don't dislike being outside, but
you just don't want to be taking for it.
Yeah,
you're mistaking for a
how do you feel about, I mean, how do you feel about this metropolis? There's not a lot of like green spaces in Striving, right?
No.
It's like a different kind of of quiet in a plant sense, because like the ice wells don't have like as vibrant of plant life as some places.
Some areas do have quite vibrant like jungle like biomes deep down, basically where deeper down where they don't get blasted from the solar radiation, and but there's enough heat from the planet's core to sort of to for that, but there is enough sun and just enough reflected sunlight gets down there, so there's some green areas, which is I think that's why Kezar sort of evolved from.
Probably like there's a moment when Zabi says like you could be out in the yard, and they think, oh, maybe this maybe this place will have like a yard with soil and plants. and gets like momentarily excited about that prospect because there's so little plant life here, and like occasional it's like an occasional potted plant in a shop window for kitschy vibes, I feel like, is the usual. And so the concept of like even like one of those like raised garden beds that might be big enough for Bows to stand in some dirt for a little bit is like visibly exciting to them.
Well, Alex, does Patsy have like a townhouse kind of like fanciness, or is like a full building unto itself?
Yeah, I'm now rapidly sort of floor planning this out in my head. So Patsy Van Dyne is of the Striving Van Dynes. This is not palatial. This is not like an estate with like sprawling grounds and multiple wings of a house or something like that. But the family is well off. They have like a large enough home that like Patsy like lives with her folks and a couple of siblings and like probably like an eccentric aunt and uncle and things like this. So like it's an extended Yusoki family that lives in this house. There are like also several kind of spare rooms or like rooms that can quickly be turned into a place for guests to stay or things like that. It's it's a nice place. I'm thinking like we're probably not talking like soil and lawns and gardens necessarily, just because I imagine Striving is so compact that like that would be wildly extravagant. But like there's maybe like some like closely cropped sort of hedges right by the house, or like an aquaponic garden kind of thing where like there's like a non-zero amount of plant life, I imagine. Not a ton, but like definitely more than like the mean streets of the city that we've been in up to this point, I think.
Fair enough. So some of you go back to your personal abodes. Some of you head up to the Van Dyne residence. Probably in Upgrid. That's the sort of the fancy areas, right? Have a good night's sleep. I think you kind of have to. You creep into the house, the three of you, because it is 4 o'clock in the morning, none of your relatives are currently awake.
Sure that there is some. Let's see. I imagine we have like maybe two kind of like. I will say servants, like, you know, folks who like work in the house. I don't know that anyone's there at 4 a.m, though. Like,
we don't have
24/7 butler or chef or anything like that. And I think Patsy is well accustomed to sneaking back at odd hours. So, you know, she sort of, you know, knows how to shimmy open the back door in a way that doesn't creak and doesn't sort of reveal anything. And she can kind of pitter patter over and get you all set up in a couple of rooms.
Maybe in the morning, there's a slight bit of awkwardness or slight late morning, the slight bit of awkwardness when everyone is kind of up and bustling about and, you know, coffee is being made and whatnot, when you've got to like get past your crotchety Aunt Vivian or, is this
I just sort of brush Aunt Viv off with like,
with
a promise to explain later of like, I'm so tired. We'll talk later, Auntie. And I just give her kind of a wink.
We'll talk.
Oh my god.
Patsy just like rolls her eyes. Yeah. 12 hours ago, she was invited to a dinner with an acquaintance, and now there are strangers both in her mystic bond and in her house. This is just very different than anything she planned.
But Aunt Viv does give you a salacious kind of wink as you leave with this human and this Kizar.
I think I return that wink in good fun because, you know, who knows? The night is young and so is Patsy and so is Dexter probably. So,
as you all are sort of going to a sort of predetermined meetup location to sort of gather together, you do all receive the same message on your comm units. It is from another encrypted source. But it's very simple. It says, dear friends, please join us in celebrating the life of Tier 99 Professor and a memorial, hologram, that it will be unveiled tomorrow morning, and gives us sort of at these locations. Signed, a friend.
I don't have any friends here.
You're right. That's the most confusing part of that message.
That's a good point.
First of all, rude.
Who's planning this?
Company accepted. But Tier 99 is why I came, and like,
right,
friend, please.
So, from what you remember, like,
fast to put together a memorial.
One thing too that you did, I think, if you made a check the other session, Alex, that you like thinking about what Anasite like funereal customs are.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes, I absolutely did do that.
This is highly unusual. Like, they, again, like I said, they're when their bodies are normally just sort of, it's very efficient, right? Their bodies are taken off and recycled for scrap. So a sort of a memorial service, for lack of a better word, is not something that is a traditional Anasite custom.
Yeah.
Can I trace the message?
Yeah. You want to give it a try?
There's like some computers, right? Right.
Yeah, give me computers. Yeah.
Okay, and I am pursuing a lead here.
So. Yes, this counts. Ooh, 27. That's pretty good.
That's really good.
That was almost a one.
So you're able to sort of it's kind of been bounced around the city a little bit, and you're able to trace it to an originating signal that is actually near the edge of the city itself. This sort of sense, unsurprisingly, it kind of, there's this theology channel sort of section of the city itself, which has a lot of temples to lots of gods, but lots of triune temples, of course. And there is
mumbo
this,
jumbo, what you're saying.
Mumbo perhaps, jumbo perhaps not. This sea of glass which is, you know, again, sort of this literal just glassed over area of Abalon's surface, kind of pokes into the city a little bit. And it's essentially from what would be essentially like a dockside, and if this were an actual sea, or, you know, and this were a city on a planet with a lot more green and water. So it's basically coming from that corner of the of Striving. A kind of a and what you imagine would be a sort of essentially like an internet cafe, like a public place to send messages from.
Okay.
Well, so we can go check that out. Maybe there's camera feed there or something that might identify when this was sent. Like, we know the date. We know I got right here that it was sent at this time.
Yeah.
I just need to go find the visual. Or ask somebody who is here.
Yep. There might be a regular there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, nobody calls me friend without without me knowing angry. Who they are.
Being called a friend.
Like, how very dare you impose friendship upon me?
Yeah, I completely impose friendship.
So you've got that lead. We've got Bowser has got a lead as well from the.
And we never did
erudite.
Go to Tierney's house too.
Yeah,
and you didn't go up into the charging station. Now the building
is for us to split up and look for clues.
Split into three groups.
Yeah, split into three groups. There you go.
All right, I love that. And if you're going to split into three groups, decide who's going where, and we'll find out what these three groups learn on next week. The next episode.
Right.
Not a full cliffhanger, but you know, a good place to end it.
Yeah.
All right.